of law school, baby. It all starts here.
Caleb Parsons is 6'9", swinging 80 to shoot the 30.
Game over, season over. The dude is dead.
What? It's unbelievable.
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Tuesday, May 12th, 2009, the first official show of the summer semester. I'm Adam Berry, the assistant sports editor for Alligator Sports, and joining me today is sports editor Phil Kegler. Phil, say hi to the listeners out there.
Hello, Gator Nation. Yo, yo, yo. Happy to be here.
All right, we're both glad to be here, even though it's the summer here in Gainesville, but you know, we're still working hard here on the podcast. Got a lot of different stuff planned.
Win big, lose big, baby.
That's Phil. First, we're going to talk about the SEC tournament here that the softball team was playing in. They won, swept through pretty easily. The Alabama game was a little bit difficult. They won 3-0 versus Auburn, 11-3 versus Tennessee in a 5-inning mercy rule, and then 8-5 against Alabama up in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I made the trip up to just the last weekend here.
Yeah, how did Knoxville treat you there, Mr. Berry?
It wasn't bad. Fortunately, I have a friend at the University of Tennessee who was generous enough to lend me his apartment.
Maybe Adam's only friend, but go ahead.
Ouch, Phil, ouch. No, it was really nice, actually. I was kind of impressed with the campus of Tennessee. I couldn't really decide. It was a little, like, there were trains and stuff over there by the softball stadium, so every once in a while.
They're a little advanced. They're still back in the, not advanced, but back in the 1850s, so trains, it's their fastest mode of transportation.
It was great, though, because when Allie Gardner, I think, hit her home run, her two-run home run in the Tennessee game, there was a train going by in the outfield, so that's what you could hear. And then, you know, as it's going into the outfield, I was hoping it would hit the train just to shut it up.
Did he blare his horn for the home
run? Oh, of course.
Oh, solid.
And
very
then,
solid.
Clever as the Tennessee PA system people are, they play Come On, Ride the Train. Just
that's
every
solid.
Time that thing would go by. Yeah.
Did people get it?
I mean, I got it. I don't
that's
know
good.
If they all
you
got
it.
You got it. I got it.
That's good.
Yeah, I was up in that press box there, which is to say I was up in the open-air sanctuary up in the top of Lee Softball.
Yeah, how did, what were the media, you know, what was it like there?
It was definitely a lot different because there were fewer beat writers and more of what I call the enthusiast press. A lot more, you know, softball-focused people, college softball websites and stuff, which I didn't know a lot of existed, but, you know, I got to know a couple of them there. But it's also very cool because Graham Hayes, the guy from ESPN, was there. He was very interesting. Had a lot of different opinions on the Florida softball team, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But then got to make some friends with the people in the Knoxville News Sentinel. That was enjoyable.
Good.
So, yeah, it was an overall positive experience.
They're good people. But now, you know, back to the main event here. Tell us how the team looked this past weekend.
I mean, they had a couple of errors out in the field, a couple of mistakes. Megan Bush, Corey Brooks had some costly errors in the first innings of the game, which allowed the Volunteers and the Tide to get ahead early on. But their bats were just ridiculous in those second two games. They put up 11 runs in 5 innings, 8 in the first 2 innings against Tennessee, and then, you know, they won pretty easily against Alabama. Alabama came back late, but, you know, I mean, you could tell the whole time, like, Florida was there to win this championship. It wasn't really under question.
I mean, ironically enough, though, it was two errors that cost UF the game against Alabama. And
it was indeed.
SEC loss.
But their bats were much stronger today, and Kelsey Dunn was not. Kelsey Dunn, the Alabama pitcher, that is, was not able to be nearly as effective as she was last time. She pitched something like 400 pitches that last weekend when they lost to Alabama, but this time she wasn't quite as effective. Maybe because they were worn down. They played Kentucky the day before, I believe, and Kentucky had a heck of a tournament run, surprisingly.
Yeah, that's always good. Yeah, I mean, the bats are going to be crucial down here down the stretch, because if there's anything that let them down last year, it was probably the hitting.
Because they lost 1-0 in the Women's College World Series in 9 innings. Stacey Nelson, she's on top of her game. She was a little weak against Alabama, but most of that is because there was a weird, crazy strike zone going on. The only way they could get a called strike was pitching inside bottom corner.
Yeah, well, I mean that's unfortunate, but it's also a good experience. You got to learn how to deal with something like that. Baseball and softball pitchers alike have to deal with those kind of things.
Exactly.
It's all about adjusting and being able to be successful with that strike zone. I mean, I know she gave up a home run, but, you know, she didn't lose the game. She kept her team in it, even though, I mean, I know there was walks and hit batsmen, but, you know, she kept her team in it. But, you know, tell us now, Adam, I know they move on to the NCAA tournament. What's coming up this weekend?
That's right. The number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, which starts this Friday. They'll be hosting a regional here in Gainesville. They've got Florida A&M, Lehigh, and Texas A&M, who, as I just mentioned, knocked them out of the tournament last year. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. It starts Friday. Florida will lead off with Florida A&M, who went 500 this year. So I would not expect a huge challenge for the Gators. You know, the number one overall seed, who just beat the number two RPI team up in Knoxville. So I wouldn't expect a whole lot of competition out of that. It will be interesting should Texas A&M advance. to see sort of that rematch because they did knock him out last year.
Yeah, what do you think is going to be the biggest difference possibly with the Aggies? You know, obviously a year ago they met all the way down in the College World Series. Obviously the Aggies probably not doing as well if they're coming over to Florida's regional here.
Yeah, they lost several players, including Megan Gibson, their pitcher from last year, who traded zeros with Stacey Nelson through 9 innings last year in that loss. So I would not expect them to be nearly as effective. I'd expect Florida to have pretty clear sailing through that regional this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, just the game times for those thinking about coming out this weekend. First game is Friday at 3:30, and then we'll feature Texas A&M and Lehigh, and then that will be capped afterwards by Florida's first game of the tournament, as they will, as Adam said, host Florida A&M. The winners of those two games will face off Saturday at 1 p.m. in Game 3, and if Florida should lose in the first round, then they would fall in the loser's bracket and then place Saturday at 6 p.m. I'm sorry, 3:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah. Back what we were talking about earlier, though, like I said, the ESPN reporter was there talking about how Florida sort of ranks, you know, nationally and even in the greater, you know, softball scene and going into the past. He said they might be the best softball team he's ever seen. Definitely the best SEC softball team he's ever seen. And, you know, I think he compared it to the Arizona teams back when Jenny Finch was pitching, which is quite the comparison.
I mean, yeah, those comparisons are always, you know, it's a lot of credit to Florida that they're even in the same conversation. The thing you always have to worry about, first of all, Florida hasn't actually won the title yet. Mm-hmm. I know they were really good last year. It wasn't necessarily a disappointment they didn't win last year since it was their first time there. But now, this year it's the expectation, so if they don't win, that'll certainly be a letdown. Mm-hmm. But they still haven't won it yet, yeah. And it's so easy to think that what's happened currently is the best ever. Yeah. Obviously, we're seeing them. It's obviously the best in UF history by far.
Absolutely.
This year and last year. But that I'm not ready yet to crown them in any kind of historical sense.
Really? So you're gonna go against the ESPN reporter who's been covering softball for Lord knows how long?
I mean, we'll see what happens, I guess. Yeah, I don't think that they're like, you know, I don't think that Florida is like this huge juggernaut. You know, there's no way, like, you know, there's no way they lose at all.
They lost three games.
I mean, okay, I understand that's a lot because, I mean, it's not a lot because they play like 50 games. Yeah. But there's vulnerabilities in that armor.
I'll agree with that.
You know, if the bats don't show up, which is a lot more likely when you're facing good pitching, and the Women's College World Series down the road is going to feature almost everyone's going to have a lockdown pitcher. Mm-hmm. Just trying to hit those day after day. If you have a bad day, you know, or two bad days, since it's a double elimination tournament,
yeah.
You know, bad things happen. And that Alabama game this year was different for them since they lost not because of the bats,
yeah,
but because of the errors.
Yeah.
That, if that happens, they'll definitely lose down the road.
Yeah, that was one interesting thing to hear the people talking about, because, you know, it's their first time covering the team, so, you know, they're just so blown away. They're like, oh, man, I don't see any you know, holes in the armor here on this Florida team. But, you know, as somebody who's covered this team this season, you do see they make a lot of errors. Maybe a lot of them aren't called because the scorekeeper is not writing them down in the book, but they do make a lot of errors, especially on that third base side, Megan Bush at shortstop and Corey Brooks. They do make a fair amount of errors, and those, you know, those could come back to hurt them if they're playing a 1-0 game.
Oh, sure. And now let's talk a little bit. I know you're covering the game, so you can stay nice and objective, but what's the expectations for this weekend for this team, do you think? In their mind, have they expressed, I'm sure they're just like survive in advance, but do you get any kind of
the funny thing? You say survive in advance. That's not at all what this
really?
Team is about. This
that's
team, Tim Walton said, the coach, he said this team is on a mission. They're on a mission for the national championship.
Okay.
Stacey Nelson has said that several times. Like, this team will be disappointed with anything less than a national championship. So, winning this regional, you know, even coming close to losing in this regional would be disappointing to this team, I think.
Right. I was going to say, it sounds like it'd be a letdown if they even drop a game here.
Absolutely, it would be.
I mean, I think. From my end, I think they should definitely mercy rule Florida A&M. That
mercy
should not rule. Even been. Yeah. They had that, right, in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah.
Okay. NCAA sport with the mercy rule is absurd to begin with. But, so mercy rule A&M. You know, I think if they want to look the best they can, I think they just mercy rule three games. I mean, you know, that would send a message as the number one overall
seed. Absolutely.
At home, especially.
Well, you look,
I mean, there's any reason not to.
You look, they mercy ruled Tennessee, and Tennessee was the 18th ranked team in the nation in the SEC tournament. They beat them 11-3. They put up 8 runs in the first 2 innings.
Right. I mean, I think an interesting point here is, I mean, I know we talk a lot about fatigue, and we're not worried about Stacey Nelson because softball is different than baseball. But, I mean, are we even going to see Brombacher this weekend?
I honestly wonder about that because she pitched only 1 inning in the SEC tournament. It was the first inning at Tennessee when she gave up 3 runs, none of which were earned, fortunately for her. But, you know, she gave up 3 runs, gave up a couple of hits, walks and everything. She I would be a little surprised, maybe. I mean, the competition is worse this weekend, so, I mean, that could play into that a little bit more, but I don't know if he trusts, if Coach Walton trusts Brombacher as much as he did at the beginning of the season.
Right, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be interesting because, I mean, I think maybe if they're up so big that even a mercy rule is, like, all but clinched, if they're up, like, you know, 13-0 mm-hmm. in the third inning, mm-hmm. then maybe she comes and pitches two innings. But it was really interesting. She did give up those three runs. I know they were unearned.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I remember reading the quote, you quoted Walton as saying something along the lines of, you know, like, we got the lead, and I didn't want to have any chance of giving back that momentum. So it sounds like he's very easy. You know, she's on a pretty short leash. And, you know, it's almost like if she starts a game or gives up, like, one run in a game, then, you know, she's probably going to be yanked here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he always does have Stacy there to protect her a little bit. And, you know, with her still being undefeated, that's something, you know, that you got to keep an eye on, especially, you know, when she comes close to losing or when she lets up a lead, Walton is going to throw Stacy in there and, you know, let her take care of things. All right, we're going to move on to a new segment here. It's called 2-Minute Warning. We're going to tackle two topics in 2 minutes. A little PTI-style debate here. We're going to start off with the U.S. baseball team. Phil, you got the topic ready and the timer ready?
All right, timer is started. We got 2 minutes on the U.S. baseball team. They host Jacksonville tonight in their final non-conference game of the season. And then this weekend they faced the Kentucky Wildcats at home for a 3-game series, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Adam, where are you reining in on, you know, this UF team's really come on hot lately?
I think the important thing is to know how much this team has turned around and how, you know, how hot they are going into the end of the season right here. They dropped 2-3 to LSU, but LSU's what, number 3 in the country?
Yeah, LSU's very highly ranked, currently predicted to continue to win the SEC and the SEC tournament. But the turnaround really came after Florida lost at Ole Miss mm-hmm. on April 19th. They then won 8 or 9 games in a row, including a 3-game sweep at Georgia,
yeah.
which is huge, vaulted them into first place in the SEC East. And that's especially big, besides, you know, divisional titles. In the SEC tournament, the division winners are guaranteed a top 2 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And for Florida and Georgia, because the West is so highly stacked,
yeah.
You know, if Florida gets second place in the East, they're going from probably a number 2 seed to a 5 or 6 seed.
Mm.
And that's obviously going to change the competition you're playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But a big change has really been, again, we've talked about this all season, you know, our baseball beat writers that are not with us right now, Kyle and Bobby. You know, Old Sullivan's just really good about knowing his guys, knowing when to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, a biggest example of that, I think, was Billy Bullock. Now kind of back in the closer's role, or at least he was at the Georgia series. It was an interesting turn of events because at Georgia, the Friday night game, they were in the bottom of the 9th inning. It got suspended due to rain.
Yeah.
So then they played the second game of the series Saturday at 1, and then finished the first game after the second game. So Bullock comes on, closes a 7-6 win, then goes back and pitches in the resuming the first game and closes out that game. So he gets 2 saves in like an hour. It really was ridiculous. And there's the end of the first segment.
There's our buzzer. All right, we're going to reset the timer here. We're going to talk about the women's golf team.
And here we go.
They just finished the NCAA East Regional 16th place out of 21, and it was here in Gainesville, so that's a little more disappointing than, you know, just a regular 16th place finish is, because it was on their home course. They could have advanced to the NCAA championships there, and as a result, their coach, Jill Bryles Hinton, resigned.
Yeah, I mean, that news came late last night. Thankfully, we got it in the paper. There was a press release around 10:30 last night, released by the University Athletic Association. And I'll go as far as to say it sounds a little bit like she was forced out.
Yeah.
You know, she was at Florida for 11 seasons. She won 1 SEC title. She only made the NCAA championship 6 of the 11 years. And Jeremy Foley's statement was along the lines of, you know, maybe not we expect to win national titles. You know, never been a golf powerhouse. But, you know, we expect to at least be playing in the finals. There's 3 sites, 3 different regionals, and the top 8 teams from each regional move on. And Florida was far behind even making, you know, they weren't even close to making it. They the 8th place finisher was Georgia. Florida was in 16th out of 21 teams.
Man.
There were 19 shots behind Georgia. It's not like they just fell short. A big part of that was the play of sophomore Jessica Yadlotsky. I apologize, Jessica, if I got that name wrong, but
I'm sure she's listening.
You know, she finished out of the 5 team members. She's usually the number 1 player,
absolutely,
by and far the best player on the team. And she had the 4th best total over the weekend. She finished in 76th place overall. a couple freshmen on the team beat out her. I mean, you're not going to be successful when your star's not ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we can't really express how disappointing this is to the University of Florida as a whole. As they, you know, like you said, they expect championships no matter what. In every sport, they expect to at least move on to the NCAA championships.
Right.
Even 6 out of 11 times. I mean, this is disappointing for her.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's not like she's just come in and is trying to revitalize program.
Yeah.
She's been here 11 years. I mean, and they were the reigning, I don't know if we mentioned this earlier, they were the reigning regional champions.
Yeah.
From a year ago, they had won the Eastern Regional, and now they're, you know, there's pride in being region champions and as well as hosting it at home, and they just couldn't get it done.
All right, and that wraps it up for our little two-minute warning segment. Got to talk about some different aspects of U.S. sports, and we'll definitely continue this little segment, maybe move it on into a three-minute segment as the summer continues. All right, we're going to move on to another segment here, the Gator Guarantees, in which we predict one thing that's going to happen in the world of UF sports coming up this week. Phil, you got yours ready?
I'm ready to go. I was, of course, born ready, always. I believe that the UF baseball team will sweep Kentucky in its final SEC series. The Wildcats are coming to town Thursday, Friday, and Saturday for a three-game set. And with this being such an important series, you know, they've all but kind of locked up the Eastern Division title. They're up two games on Georgia heading into the final weekend. You know, if they win one or two of these, I'm pretty sure they clinch. I haven't looked that up precisely, but they probably need one or two. But I think it's just a strong way to move into the SEC tournament, which starts next week. You know, I just think they're going to take three from the Wildcats, end the season strong, get that Eastern Division title, take the number two seed, and keep the momentum going.
Here's something we didn't talk about in the two-minute warning segment, obviously, because of time constraints there. But do you feel like this momentum is going to carry into the postseason for them?
You know, well, it'll be interesting because it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit of some young guys that they count on, especially in some pitching arms.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have those dominant kind of starter guys. Bullock's kind of come out in the bullpen. But there's just a lot of inconsistency sometimes with this team. I know they're really hitting their stride. But I worry about in postseason play when you're playing a really good team and, you know, in the Super Regionals, you got to win two out of three against another really good team. You know, I wonder. And when they're not in Gainesville, sometimes they haven't played well. They did lose 2-3 at Baton Rouge. They did sweep at Georgia, though. So, again, inconsistent on the road. They are currently projected to host a regional, a first-round site, May 29th to June the 1st. Which would be key. I think they have a much better chance to move on if they can host a regional. Some projections, depending on how they do, even have them as the number 8 overall seed. You'll remember baseball has 8 overall seeds that are protected on their way to Omaha.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll end up getting national seed, but I think they definitely will host a regional.
All right, that's your Gator Guarantee. I'm going to move on and take mine. I'm going to say the men's track team will win the SEC Outdoor Championships this weekend here in Gainesville. But I'm going to say that the women's team will not. As we know, the men's track team is currently number 1 in the nation, so obviously they've got a lot of momentum heading into this right now. But I don't think the women, even though they're on their home course, I don't think they're going to be able to hold up and bring home the title.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a big meet, and I think there's always a lot of pressure when you are the number 1 team. You're at home, you know, all your fans are there. You're almost expected to win, even though Florida, traditionally, not the biggest powerhouse in the SEC. Arkansas has had a run of national titles, although I believe that coach had stepped down after last season. But, I mean, they ran away with men's and women's track, indoor and outdoor, for years. So,
all right, but I'm going to say that the Gators men take it home this weekend. The women's team does not.
All right.
And with that, we're going to move on to another segment, the Reggie Nelson Awards for Excellence in the Field of Sport and the Kyle Jackson Bad Angles of the Week. We're going to split them up here by award. Phil, do you want to start with your Reggie Nelson?
Certainly. This one was actually a piece of cake when I was thinking about it. By far, one of the most exciting moments that I can remember. I can't even make an analogy to another sport. The Barcelona-Chelsea UEFA Champions League game. Andres Iniesta, I don't know if I even pronounced that right, but beats Peter Cech in the 93rd minute to get a goal across. Barcelona, you know, ties Chelsea 1-1. It was in the second leg, though, so that goal effectively was the away goals are a tiebreaker in soccer, and that match was at Chelsea, so Barcelona moved on. I mean, they were down to 10 men. Chelsea had scored in, like, the 9th minute. They were possibly, you know, 90 seconds away from going on to the final May 27th in Rome against Manchester United. And Barcelona just stole victory from their teeth.
So who are you giving your Reggie to? You just described an event. I don't know what's
Andres
going on
Iniesta.
Here. All right, there you go. I'm going to give my Reggie Nelson, as the guy I mentioned earlier, to my friend Logan Wells up in Tennessee. Lent me his apartment up there. sheltered me in Chattanooga, Tennessee, my old hometown on the way up there, which is, it's always a bizarre event when you drive through Chattanooga. I drove up there expecting to have dinner and get his apartment key. I ended up going to church, playing basketball, and spending the night in Tennessee, so.
I mean, you probably saw all 10 people that live in Chattanooga, so.
All 10 people?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Chattanooga?
In the log houses. I have indeed, sir. Jeez.
I mean, it is quite the experience, as I was describing my little gas station stop there, in which I saw a man puking into his beverage, so it's always good times when you stop through Chattanooga.
You would not see that in Florida, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, because Florida is just a beacon of civilization everywhere in the state.
I'm here, therefore it's better.
Oh,
so,
anyway. I guess I'll go with my Kyle Jackson.
Yeah, go ahead, let's roll on.
I'm going to give it to Mother Nature due to the rain I experienced on the way up to Tennessee, and of course the rain that postponed the championship game by an hour and a half. I was sitting there, as I mentioned earlier, in the little open-air press box on the top level of Lee Stadium while it was raining, sitting there because I got there. I didn't know the game was postponed. So thank you, rain, for, first of all, you know, delaying that and then delaying my drive home. So I got back here to Gainesville at 4 in the morning, barely, you know, cognizant of anything that was going on around me.
That is certainly unfortunate. My Kyle Jackson Award this week, you know, I had to think a little bit, but then it kind of came to me. It's got to go to the UF women's golf team. I mean, it's hard to think. UF teams are not very used to disappointing on big stages like this. They've got the East Regional at home, as we discussed, reigning East Regional champions. You know, a little bit of a young squad. I know they were really good last year, but, you know, especially Jessica Yablotsky, 76th place, sophomore, youngster, I understand, but 16th place out of 21 teams, top 8 advance, 19 shots behind the final qualifier. That's going to earn you Kyle Jackson Award of the Week.
Kyle Jackson Bad Angle of the Week.
Bad Angle.
There you go. All right, before we wrap it up here, I got two things I want to go through. I literally just received an email saying that softball team's Kelsey Bruder, the right fielder, sophomore, was just named National Player of the Week, which is a huge honor for her, absolutely. This is her first year as a starter. She stepped in for Mary Ratliff, the only departing senior from last year's team, and has had a huge year offensively for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that really should be pointed out. The one player that the team did lose from last year, or the key component, was Mary Ratliff out in right field, the only starter they did lose off last year's Women's College World Series team. And then Kelsey Bruder steps in, you know, couldn't be performing any better right now at the end of the year. National Player of the Year. I mean, the National Player of the Week, I'm sorry. But, I mean, I think it just shows that this team is really clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, absolutely. She stepped up in a huge way. I mean, one of the highest averages, so many home runs. It's been ridiculous what she's added to this team. You know, people were afraid of the drop-off they would have losing Mary Ratliff, and, you know, nobody would have probably guessed that she would have stepped in and played better or even, you know, contributed more meaningfully. But the other thing that we want to do before we close out this show here, we got another email from loyal listener Vince Faniola, one of our favorite contributors here, always sending us emails and keeping us updated. This email said our loyal listener was in Alaska. He's moved there, but he also wanted us to give out a huge shout-out to the new Mr. and Mrs. Carrie Gordon from their good buddy Vince, and that he'll catch up with them when he comes down to Florida in the winter. And
I can still hear the wedding bells chiming.
Personally, I'm hoping Vince will catch up with us when he comes down to visit here.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah, and also Vince mentioned that he was not in support of us changing the show name from Alligator Sports Podcast, but if you, the other listeners, have any suggestions, feel free to send them in. We're still open to that. Right now, we're definitely going to keep this name until we get something that's, you know, that strikes us with inspiration or something that's particularly clever. So, Phil, anything else you got to say here? The show's running a little short, but it's just you and I, so.
Well, I mean, we got the two best people here, man, so we'll just keep on rolling.
All right, check back probably next week, early on in the week, for another podcast updating you on all this stuff that's going on this weekend, the softball regional, the track meet, the SEC championships there, the baseball teams, and tennis and golf this weekend, correct, Phil?
Yeah, that's correct. Women's tennis moving on. Men's tennis fell, actually, in a little bit of an upset to Miami at home this past weekend. But women's tennis moves on. It's a big week for UF sports.
Yeah.
Women's tennis, track's got the big SEC meet, softball's in the regional, baseball's holding its last SEC series. So if you're in Gainesville, there's plenty of sports to see this weekend.
Absolutely, and we'll keep you updated on alligatorsports.org and right here on the Alligator Sports Podcast. So send any feedback on this show to sports@alligator.org, comment on our blogs. Thanks for listening.